Thus we end the 20th chapter of Judges. In the 21st chapter, the story continues, beginning with the first verse. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife." What this refers to is back when they had had that meeting in Mizpah before they encountered on this battle against the Benjaminites. They had invited all of the nation to come to this meeting. Every city was to send a representative to the meeting. And at the meeting in Mizpah, they had made an oath. They said, "There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife." They were going to treat Benjamin as though it was a foreign nation. They would not allow their daughters to marry Benjamin. And so all the representatives at the meeting in Mizpah had agreed to this oath. So now we see Benjamin is down to only 600 men. Benjamin is in danger of being annihilated, because if the rest of the tribe won't allow their daughters to marry them, then they're not going to be able to continue to be a tribe. And so we see there's a situation here, and we're going to see how that it's taken care of. Verse 2, "And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore." So now the people have come to the house of God. They're sad about the situation of Benjamin. Maybe they think they might have overdone this punishment a little bit. It doesn't say that. But for some reason they're sad, and of course there is every indication that they should have been sad. Any time that there is a civil war, the side who wins really has no reason to be glad, no reason to be so overjoyous, because the nation as a whole has lost, and lost greatly. And so it is in the case of Israel here. They've lost a whole tribe. They lost the tribe of Benjamin. And so those victorious Israelites have no reason to be overjoyous about this, because the nation has suffered a severe blow. The nation is now deformed because one of its members has been crushed. And so it is in the church. Anytime there's a division in the church, the body as a whole has suffered a great loss. It's always an occasion of sadness. There's never a time to rejoice. And of course, anything that makes us truly sad then should be something that caused us to go to God. And that's what happened here. They went to the house of God, which would be in Shiloh, abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore, and said, "O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?" We're going to be a nation that is not as it was intended to be. We were supposed to be 12 tribes. In the priest vesture, there were the 12 stones. Every reference made to this nation has been a reference made to the 12. And here Benjamin, the youngest son of Jacob, the son that he did love, the son of the right hand, Benjamin is going to be lacking. Why should this be? "And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings." Now they built another altar, apparently not a rival one to the altar of the tabernacle, but one in communion with it. An altar maybe larger, so that it could accommodate a larger quantity of offerings, which they did make here, burnt offerings and peace offerings. "And the children of Israel said, Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord?" Now, they begin to try to figure some way that they can rectify this situation. How can they get some wives for these men of Benjamin? How can they restore the tribe of Benjamin? And, well, they'd made an oath over at Mizpah when the congregation of the Lord came together. They'd made an oath that none of their daughters could marry a Benjaminite. This didn't mean that their posterity couldn't, but none of their immediate daughters could do this. For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, He shall surely be put to death. Now they had made another oath at Mizpah, and that is that those that didn't come to this meeting in Mizpah, those that did not send representatives there, should be put to death. And so now they're looking over the roll to see who didn't come, who would be guilty of not attending the meeting, of not joining in with Israel in the eradicating of this sin, who would be guilty enough then that they could be the object of this oath, which would then make them subject to the death penalty. Verse 6, And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, "There is one tribe cut off from Israel this day." So they were very sad over the fact that they lost a tribe. They'd lost the tribe of Benjamin. And they were trying to find a way that they could rectify this, find a way that Benjamin could now be allowed to have wives for these 600 men, and then restore itself as a tribe. It would be a very small beginning, but nevertheless, they could eventually get back to the full status as one of the 12 tribes. Verse 7, "How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters to wives?" And they said, "What one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord?" So they're trying to find which tribe didn't come, or which area didn't come, which city didn't come. And this would put that city then under the curse that they should be put to death. "And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly." Jabesh-Gilead would be located in the area of Gilead, which was a large area. It included all of Gad and Reuben and half of the tribe of Manasseh, technically. It is thought that this was probably strictly from the area of Gad, but it was someplace on the east side of the Jordan, and it was a very prominent city. And we're going to find later that it was vigorously defended by Saul. But this city didn't send a representative to the meeting at Mizpah. And verse 9 says, "For the people were numbered, and behold, there was none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there." They had a roll of all the people who came. So when they'd done some checking, they found that none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead were there. None were registered from that city. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, "Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children." So here this city, because it didn't come to the meeting at Mizpah, because it did not participate in the correcting of the sin of Benjamin, then it was under the curse. The curse was that they should be put to death. And I have another unusual thing here. Because they weren't at that meeting then, none of their fathers made the oath that their daughters were not to marry a Benjaminite. So they weren't bound by that oath either. Their daughters could marry a Benjaminite. And so they decide that they're going to carry out the oath of putting them to death. So they send 12,000 men, not the whole army by any means, 12,000 of the valiantest, and commanded them, "Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that has lain by a man." So all the men and their wives would be put to death, the women as well as the men. "And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male, and they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan." So after they had carried out this deed of destroying all the people of Jabesh-Gilead and saving only the young virgins, then they found 400 of these young virgins, and they brought them then to the camp to Shiloh. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. So here now we have the 600 men that are hidden over in the rock Rimmon. They've been there for 4 months now. They are the survivors of the great annihilation of the tribe of Benjamin. And so now they sent some to speak to them, and they came to call peaceably unto them. Now the war's over. We're trying to rectify things. We're trying to get things back the way that they ought to be. We're trying to restore this tribe of Benjamin. We're now not holding any hardness against Benjamin. And they didn't go in a demanding warfare type of approach, but they went and they called peaceably to them. They are now wanting to make things right. They're wanting to get the tribe back the way that it ought to be. "And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives, which they had saved alive, of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not." Now Israel had made a pretty good start here in trying to rectify this thing so that the tribe of Benjamin could be restored, so that they could fully utilize every one of the men who remained. But there were 600 men at the Rock Rimmon and only 400 virgins, so there'd be 200 of them that would not have a mate. But that's the way it's described here. Yet so they sufficed them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. The people were sorry for this loss of Benjamin. And as we said before, and as it's expressed here again, this victory that they made in wiping out the sin, which caused them to lose a whole tribe, was nothing to rejoice about. They were saddened about it. They were very contrite. They were very penitent because this thing had happened. And we might note that sin never brings about an occasion for rejoicing. Even though we do finally overcome the sin, sin always leaves strewn in its path such sorrow, such grief, such destruction, until at the last, even though we've been victorious over it, there's no rejoicing to be done because of the sadness that sin brought about. And so it is here. They did overcome the Benjaminites. They did sufficiently punish this tribe, even what would seem in our eyes to be maybe more than sufficiently punish them. But there's no occasion for rejoicing because the punishment, the thing that was required to annihilate the sin, brought about so much destruction and so much grief in the nation until it was a time of sadness. But not only was it a time of sadness, but it was a time for the people then to come together and to see what they could do to try to rectify the matter. They put a lot of energy, they put a lot of time into trying to correct this to the very best of their ability. They fought another great battle over at Jabesh-Gilead. Had 12,000 soldiers involved in it. There was a lot of death and destruction. Of course, that was also carrying out an earlier oath that they would put to death any who didn't come to help. And they are most concerned now about the well-being of the remainder of this tribe of Benjamin. And, of course, this is a very good example for us today. When we have eradicated sin in an area, then there is some patching up to be done. There is some healing to take place. In order for this to be brought about to the very best, we have to put some work into it, some energy into it. We're going to have to humble ourselves before God. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to approach Him with our sadness. We're going to have to find out what we can do. And then we have to roll up our sleeves and go to work. Go to work trying to heal the breach. Anytime that there is friction among brethren, the aftermath of that friction always requires a lot of effort to try to heal the thing over. Here we see that the side that was in the right, the side that was victorious, the side that had been originally offended, they made the approach to those at the Rock Rimmon. They went to them peaceably. They'd already been working on how they could work this thing out, how they could rectify the situation. And so then they approached them peaceably. And so this is a good example for us. We can't hold old feelings once we have eradicated the problem. We have to have enough love to be able to restore as well as to destroy. Well, we're out of time for this segment. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.